Welcome to At the CR Quick Chat, conversations with community managers and social media practitioners. My name is Jim Storer, and I'm a principal at the Community Roundtable, a peer network for community managers and social media practitioners. You can find more about us at community-roundtable.com. Now on to the podcast. All right, I'm here with Aaron Strout, the CMO of Powered, and Aaron and I are old friends from our days at another company, and I'd like to give Aaron a chance to kick it off by telling us a little bit about what he's doing these days and what Powered's all about.
Thanks, Jim, and it's a pleasure to do this. It's funny because you and I have actually done a lot of podcasts together interviewing other folks. I have very fond memories of you and me waiting at the Las Vegas airport. It was, I think, like 3:30 in the morning our time waiting for Charlene Lee. And we actually did a podcast with Charlene Lee in a limo going back to our hotel right before Community 2.0. So you and I have definitely been around the block in that regard.
That one just takes a, for me, it's one of my great memories podcasting. It takes a little bit of a backseat to the 15 or so we did that night at the Iron Cactus at South by Southwest.
That was also fun. We've had some good times. So I appreciate you having me on, and just, you know, to your question about Powered, I joined here about a year ago, almost a year, you know, just shy of a year ago. You and I worked obviously together at Mazenga. And so what we do is sort of a flavor of online community building, and we call it social marketing. And really the reason we do that is because it is tapping into the benefits and the power of online community for big brands, and really being hardcore focused on marketing versus support forums or product innovation or market research, all of which are nice, very solid benefits of community, but things that we focus really are on that. Some of our signature clients, folks like Kodak, who's actually rolling out this week. We have Sony, HP, Atkins, Radio Shack, among some others. We've been in business for 10 years, and we are a full-service suite, so we've got the platform. We help with the strategy up front. We do some overall program management, and then we measure everything. And really, that's where that got me excited about coming here, is just they place such a premium on measuring and sort of actually being able to demonstrate an ROI versus community, which, you know, is always good pretty much for anybody, but without a strong tie into corporate goals and a strong overview of what the success of the community looks like, which I would argue is equally important to community management, which I think is one of the things we're going to talk about today, that, you know, you're doomed to sort of get the plug pulled on your program if you're not focusing on some of those things.
So that's interesting. Tell me a little bit about how you approach measurement and ROI with clients, because, you know, maybe just how you start talking with them about it and what it evolves into as you launch a community with them.
Yeah, so the thing that we start by doing, and this is something that's interesting because I think in our early days at Shared Insights, when you were actually leading up, you know, not only product but community management for that sort of phase of our life, we did a lot in terms of focusing on what were the goals of the people that we were talking to. And a lot of time that did start with the marketing folks, right? So we sit down and we say, what are you trying to do? You know, we know what they're trying to do in general, but what do you want to focus on? So it's things like, do you want to drive new customers? Do you want to increase share of wallet? Do you want to deepen loyalty? Do you want to increase advocacy, which leads to things like referrals? And so once we know what it is that they want to measure, then it doesn't become an exercise in like how many comments did you get on your blog or how many people are following you on Twitter. Both can be good things, right? But unless you know what sort of the business, explicit business output is, then it may or may not be that rewarding. So when we start with that, then we can sort of create a list of key performance indicators, KPIs, and we can say, okay, how are we doing against some of the success criteria? And so you start to look at things around the marketing life cycle that includes, this is the traditional marketing life cycle, includes things like consideration, purchase, loyalty, advocacy, engagement. And so under consideration, for instance, you can look at percentage of clicks to branded products from the community, percent more likely to purchase, percent planning to purchase. You know, under the purchase piece of that, you can look at actual online transactions and revenue, reported purchases. And with us, that comes from a mix of, we have a workbench that we do a lot of the quantitative measurement with, and that actually is a mix between traditional web analytics and some additional things that we look at. And then we actually survey a lot of our customers' customers and explicitly ask them the question, you know, have you bought anything from company X? Will you buy something from them? If so, you know, when and how much do you spend with these guys? And then we marry that up with some of the data, depending on, you know, some customers are really good at tracking the click all the way through to purchase, some not as much, and there's always that element of what if they picked up the phone, what if they went to a store. But we're able to sort of extrapolate that data and project it out when we've got the right model that we've built with the client. And literally, there are cases where we can demonstrate or have demonstrated hundreds of millions of dollars in return on investment with some of these communities that we've been doing for a while.
That's really interesting. So the one thing that really strikes me about Powered, if I can move on to another topic, is the focus on content. I think a lot of companies don't realize that in building strong community, you need to build strong content, and you need to be prepared to do a lot of work up front. It's the user-generated content doesn't start on day one. And so can you talk a little bit about the organization that you set up to really support that need for content? I know you've got a lot of strength in that area.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you did that, Jim, because that was one of the other things that really impressed me when I came down here was you and I have always talked about the importance for good content, and it's why we did things like blogged, we podcasted, we did webcasts, you know, created videos and things like that. So I think inherently we really got the importance of that. Powered has that really baked into their overall plan, and in fact, Natanya Anderson, whom I know you met down at South by Southwest, is our VP of content strategy, and she's actually an educator by nature, and so she understands all things sort of learning and engagement. And we have what we call four superpowers. So we've talked about the strategy piece. We've talked about the measurement piece. I also mentioned that we have our own platform. So those are three of the legs. And then the fourth is content, which really I look at as coming second after strategy. And so what we say, you know, to our customers is, look, your customers over time will contribute content. Even if there's only 1% of them, you know, which is the finding from Forrester, speaking of Charlene Lee, Charlene and Josh, you know, sort of came up and reinforced that notion of this 99-10-1 rule, where most of the people will read and digest, 10% will sort of comment and rate and review, and then 1% of your hardcore content creators, people I think like you and me. And so we've gone in and said, what that doesn't mean is you don't put your infomercials in there. Like, you don't take your television ads. You don't take your press releases and put it in there. You don't take your product slicks and put them in your community. But what you can do is you can create articles, blog posts, literally courses that, you know, people can go through, like self-paced courses, you know, flash little pieces, and make them about lifestyle-oriented things versus, you know, talking about your product specifically. So, you know, if it's Sony is one of our customers, Sony could go in and talk about cameras. Sony could go in and talk about high-definition TVs. A lot of the things that we talk about with this content that we've helped them create are the things that surround them. So how do you take better pictures? You know, how do you decide between a DSLR or a point-and-shoot? How do you set up a home theater system? Those are the things that add value to lives of people like you and me versus, you know, if I'm in the purchase consideration mode and I'm like close to buying something, then I do want to see the product specs and the differences between those two. But that usually is only about 1% of the population, right, if not less. And so how do you keep the people that are coming to your site engaged and coming back for more and keeping you sort of top of mind? So I know this is a long-winded answer, but we look at this as a continuum. So if the brand can start to contribute that type of content, then over time, as people get more comfortable and are coming back, then they'll be more inclined to provide content themselves and have conversations in the discussion forums. They might blog, upload podcast pictures, et cetera.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And looking at your client list, it looks like you're doing a lot of B2C. Do you have implementations that are focused in the B2B space as well?
We do. We definitely have been heavier in B2C, and part of that is because we're not inexpensive, and the solution that we offer up tends to work better when it's got scale to it. But to that end, for instance, HP, who is one of our bigger clients, and they've been with us for about 7 or 8 years, they have a small business center. So, you know, that might not be the B2B, like, you know, I always bring up Kyle Flaherty as sort of one of my examples. He works at Breaking Point Systems. You know, they do sell directly to other businesses. We sell directly to other businesses, and I certainly use that for, you know, social for that good and community for that good. But in this particular case, this is B2B, and there are over 1 million people in this community, which I think is pretty impressive. It's in some ways rivals what Bank of America has done with their small business community. Amex has their open forum, which is probably one of the longest standing non-software oriented communities in market, mm-hmm. where they help, you know, B2B. And that's where we've really found a sweet spot. I'm not sure we'll go into the direct B2B selling space beyond the small business because it's hard to get the right scale. But certainly any of these same approaches will work. If anything, you might have to be a little more diligent about creating content and implementing some of the skill sets required in good community management.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, why don't you tell me a little bit about one of your customer implementations? You've talked about how you guys bring content and programs to bear, and those are really important. But talk about the community management side of it, because I think Powered kind of comes at that from an interesting perspective. You have some folks that really help out with that, right?
Yeah, so unlike some of the other folks that are building community, we have taken a slightly different approach. And I'm not, you know, I like our approach. I think that there is actually a place for both community management and then what we have, which is a combination of program management and then moderation. So, you know, most companies that are sort of doing community professionally do have moderation. Certainly, you know, at Mazinga, we had a strength in this. People like LiveWorld, people like Lithium, all offer moderation. The approach we take is we have program managers, and they're the folks that actually help with the strategy up front and then the overall measurement, and they make sure that the community is moving along, work with the customer, and very often actually become sort of a virtual extension of the companies we work with, of their marketing teams. And then we have moderators, but in some ways the moderators actually act more like community managers than you traditionally might have in moderation. So what I mean by that is when we're creating some of this content that we just spoke about, we go out and seek out subject matter experts that don't officially work for Powered. They're 1099 employees, and so they're mutually agreed upon by us and the clients. We have sort of a stable of these folks that Natanya has amassed over the years. And these folks not only act as the folks that help sort of input into the content creation, but they also end up moderating the discussion forums, the ratings and reviews of the content, the blog posts and things like that. So while you might not get the scale of like an ABC News or an ESPN where you literally are having hundreds of thousands of things that need to be triaged by professional moderators, they do end up being a little bit more plugged in and engaged in the community because they do have domain expertise. Now, just to add an extra piece to that, what we do like to see, and we're starting to see more of this, is getting community management on the client side. So if we're the ones offering up the program management, so we help with the measurement, we help with the strategy, we help with the content, and then we actually provide the moderation. We also have the back office services so that if people need, you know, PIN resets or, you know, password resets or things like that, they can take care of that. And then we have a counterpart on the customer side that is the community manager that can help actually create extra content, that can actually, you know, sort of do webcasts and things like that. And with our Atkins client, we actually see someone that's similar to that. They have a woman on staff that's their blogger. And so she's a nutritionist, and all she does is sort of talk about, you know, all things nutrition. And so while she doesn't officially have the title of community manager, she does a lot of the things that you might see a traditional community manager doing, engaging with the community, creating that sort of ongoing content. But I'm a big believer in that, and certainly the things that you and Rachel are doing in helping to teach people to be better community managers, I think is invaluable because, you know, it's all of these skills. It's the making sure that people know where they're supposed to be, keeping the dialogue on the up and up, giving them, you know, fresh content to sort of rally around, deriving insights into that so that you can actually hand them back to, you know, the company that you work with or, you know, your company if you're the community manager there. So, you know, again, a long-winded answer, but hopefully that gives a flavor of sort of how we look at things. But really, I think it's a key function, this whole idea of community management, key function in any community success.
Well, we definitely think so. And so, you know, that's why we're really focusing on the community manager. Let me ask you, another component of what we see is really important for community managers is kind of outreach and evangelism. And I see you as someone who is a good case study on how to do it well and how to do it effectively. You know, you're not just selling content management and content creation and things like that. You actually do a lot of it yourself to get the word out about Powered. And I think, you know, I think you've been called the Kevin Bacon of social media. You're out there, you know, you're talking to a lot of different people. Can you tell listeners a little bit about some of the best practices that you found about, you know, getting out there and being a part of the conversation and trying to evangelize your brand?
Yeah, I love that question, and I think it's interesting because I'm doing a podcast later this week with Susan Bratton, who you also met at South by Southwest, and she does the Dishy Mix podcast. And she was asking me a lot of questions about what are you good at, like what's your sort of one differentiating factor. And I think the thing that I've always been is a networker. I started networking back in the 90s, and one of the things that I learned when, and you actually have taught me a lot about this, when I joined Shared Insights after leaving Fidelity, is this concept of content creation. And why it's important combining those two things is that when I first joined Shared Insights, I totally understood the concept of social. I understood the concept of community. I read about it. I had read books. You know, I'd read Clue Train. We had the project We Are Smarter Than Me. But it wasn't until I started doing and participating that I fundamentally sort of it clicked with me what the real power of community was. And to a great degree, Twitter, which has really been my community to a big degree, and I think probably you'd say the same about you, is it's allowed me to sort of understand the give and take. And I think the thing is that it's not to say everyone's going to be a content creator, but one, I've learned a ton, right? Because I talk to people like you and people like Jeremiah Ouyang and people like David Armano and Peter Kim. And I think I'm a relatively smart guy, but I can't be as smart as everybody, and I can't know as much as all these people do. And the other thing is that I think when you find that you're doing content creation, that iterative process of thinking through what the argument is and sort of understanding how to construct an argument and going out and finding the details and researching it really can be helpful in presenting thoughts and ideas to people, right? It's almost like being part of Debate Club 101, because you understand sort of what the salient bullet points are and why it is that certain things work. So networking, content creation, I think doing those things and understanding that a lot of that is putting credit in the bank. So I've tried to always be helpful to people. And, you know, people say, well, what can I do for you? And it's like, you know what, nothing right now, but there may be a time where I do need your help. I want to pull you in on a podcast. I want to pull you in on a webinar. Maybe I need to meet somebody and I know you know them. And I found that that's been really helpful, and that's helped in my journey and sort of getting powered on the map over the last year.
Well, speaking of content, one of the things you did in the last year that I thought was really phenomenal, and I think there was talk of a book. You did a 45 and 45 series, and I wonder if you've thought about bringing that together into an e-book or something like that.
Yeah, so the series you're speaking about is, I had this sort of epiphany as I was riding on a plane back from the M-Planet conference, going from there in Florida to Austin, Texas, where I'm located now. And I thought, you know, I love to blog, but sometimes it's hard to sort of have ongoing content. So I thought, how can I make this scalable, right? So I sent an email to a bunch of friends, and I said, you know what I'm going to do is there are 45 days between now and South by Southwest. So I'm going to do 45 interviews in 45 days. I'm just going to reach out to a bunch of friends, you know, smart people that I know. You obviously were included in this. Rachel Hoppe was included in this, your partner in crime. And it actually turned out to be pretty cool. And so not only I basically asked, I think, five questions. You know, how did you get started? What do you do that makes you sort of good at what you do? Would you join a toothpaste community? Things like that. A couple pearls of wisdom. But what was great about this was that you got the same questions, but a lot of different responses. And it was fun. So I guess I have had a number of people say you should turn this into an ebook because there is a lot of great thinking around community and community best practices. So I have not sort of had the time to do that, but I still have that on the radar in terms of something that I would like to do hopefully this year.
I think there's a real nugget in there, the consistency in questions. I know you and I have talked about that in past lives when you're doing interviews and talking to people, is to ask them the same question over and over again, you know, of different people, and you get some really interesting trending as far as the answers are. So that's, I think, a really good best practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful. Just you and I have done it in podcasting, right? It's because of the fact that I think it's helpful for people who listen to you. If you're always asking different questions, then it's hard for them to kind of get a sense of what the real answer is. But if you say, can you share two pearls of wisdom about a company that's just getting started with community, you know, you'll get their flavor of it, and people can then sort of juxtapose those answers. And based on whether it's an author or a CMO or, you know, a analyst answering that, I think it helps frame the conversation a little bit better in their mind.
Well, great, Aaron. Thank you. Why don't you give us a shout out to all of the different places where you create content? I know you've got a couple of podcasts going. You've got you know, a couple of blogs going. Why don't you just let everyone know where they can find you?
Sure, I appreciate that. So my work blog is powered.com/blog, and I actually co-contribute with a bunch of my colleagues like Natanya Anderson, who I mentioned, Doug Wick, and Kathy Warren. My personal blog is stroutmeister.com, so Stroutmeister. I do a couple of different podcasts. I do a weekly show with my co-host Jennifer Leggio, a.k.a. Media Fighter. It's called the Quick and Dirty Podcast Show, and you can find that actually if you go to twitter.com/quickanddirty. And then the last is, I'm going to give a shout-out to my photo blog. I do that sort of both on Flickr and on Brightkite. So if you go to either of those, Brightkite or Flickr, and you look for A. Strout, you'll find it. And I've been doing a lot more recently, especially since I have this new app called Best Camera that allows me to adjust the lighting, the saturation, and, you know, create black and white photos and things like that. So I think those are the major areas to find me. Then Twitter, I'm Aaron Strout on Twitter, and you can sort of find out about my daily goings-ons that way.
Perfect. I appreciate it, Aaron. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for joining us today on At the CR Quick Chat, conversations with community managers and social media practitioners, sponsored by the Community Roundtable. That's community-roundtable.com. Also, special thanks to Kit Seaborg and the team at bumpertunes.net for providing the music in this podcast. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to check in next week for the next At the CR Quick Chat. Have a great day.